still see me, and because I go to the Father. They said, what is this that he says? A little while. We do not know what he is saying. Questions, questions, questions. But in that day, says Jesus, no more questions. Why? Because verse 13, when the Spirit comes, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit who will guide you into all truth, the Spirit who will tell you things to come, the Spirit who will take what is Christ and declare it to you, in that day, your questions, says Jesus, will be answered. More than that, the Spirit will open your minds to a universe of truth, as we were thinking about last week, a new vision of Jesus. So you won't be asking questions like these. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. But there's asking and there's asking. In that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Now, Jesus uses two different words here for asking. He says, you won't be asking about things, but you will be asking. You'll be asking for things. Asking for things in prayer. Asking the Father in Jesus' name. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Now, what does it mean to ask in Jesus' name? Well, we had the hymn, didn't we? Before the throne of God above, I have a strong, a perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, who ever lives and pleads for me. I have a strong, a perfect plea. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And every sinner who comes in Jesus' name, what do they find? A father's welcome. If the name of Gerard Hemmings speaks of sin and rebellion, then the name of Jesus speaks of pardon and welcome. I have a strong, a perfect plea coming, asking in the name of Jesus. Christian friend, did you let God down yesterday? Doesn't mean your prayers will go unanswered. You let him down, therefore God's going to cold shoulder you. Will you have to pray extra hard, extra loud, extra long to be heard? Will you have to work up a sweat before God hears you? No, because we come in Jesus' name. My standing with God doesn't depend upon me. My standing with God depends upon Jesus. As Paul writes to the Ephesians, we're accepted in the beloved. And therefore he will hear me for Jesus' sake. Indeed, all the imperfections of our praying, they stop with Jesus, stop with our high priest, and we are heard in heaven. But that's not the whole picture. Jesus is saying more than that. And that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. So do we just have to tag on to our requests in Jesus' name? So whatever I pray for in Jesus' name, and the Father will answer. Whatever I ask in Jesus' name, the Father will give it. So we've just got to name and claim. Is that what Jesus is saying? No. To ask in Jesus' name is to ask what he would ask. It's to pray what he would pray. I'm asking in Jesus' name. It links back to John 15, verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Because if I'm abiding in him, and his words are abiding in me, then what I ask will be what he would ask. My prayer life will imitate the prayer life of the Son of God when he walked this earth. So when the Spirit comes, in that day, you will have a knowledge of Jesus which you didn't have before. That's what we were thinking about last week. The Spirit will open your horizons. You'll understand Christ, you'll see Christ, you'll know Christ in a way that you don't know him now. And therefore, in each new situation, you will know what Jesus would ask for. And as you face each setting, you will pray for what Jesus himself prayed for. You will be asking in his name. And therefore, it's inevitable the Father will answer. Many years ago, I asked a friend whose husband was taking his finals, I said, what should I pray? And she said, in all sincerity, she said, well, pray that he would get a first. But could I ask that in Jesus' name? Is that what Jesus would pray in that situation? In that day, when the Spirit comes, we will know Jesus in a way that we didn't know him before, of course, because we encounter him in his other self, the Spirit. He comes to dwell in our hearts through faith, and the whole vista is opened up before us. The cross, the empty tomb, his ascension, his seated at God's right hand, his coming again. Christ lives in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory, a new vision of Jesus. We'll know him in a way that we don't know him. That's what he's saying to his disciples. Obviously, we now know because the Spirit has come. And therefore, when the Spirit comes, we will be able to pray as he prayed. We abide in him, and his words abide in us. Our prayer life will imitate the prayer life of the Son of God when he was on earth. And therefore, asking in his name, we will receive abundant answers from the Father. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Do you want to know what a husband wants for his birthday? Ask his wife. Why? Because she knows him. So says Jesus, the church, the bride of Christ, will know what her husband wants and can therefore ask in his name. The Spirit, when he comes, he gives us a new vision of Jesus, a vision we see in his word. And therefore we can ask as he asked. We can ask in Jesus' name. Our requests will therefore be Christ-shaped. That's the point. And therefore we can guarantee the Father will answer. That's what Jesus is saying in those two verses. That's the exposition. So we need to apply it. An A to Z of prayer. How many letters in the alphabet? 26. 26 applications. And before you lose the will to live, they are, I hope, all short and relatively quick fire. All right? But what does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? We've talked about that. That's fine, grand. Yeah, I'll pray in Jesus' name. What does it mean? Let's have some applications, all right? A to Z. Okay, A. What are you going to pray when you step out on some new venture? A new phase of your life? Well, Jesus begins his public ministry. Some of these you may want to turn to. Others you may just want to hear as I read them out. I'm just going to read from Luke chapter 3 and verses 21 and 22. Jesus begins his public ministry. Okay, the years of obscurity are now gone and gone forever. He's being baptized by John in the Jordan. And what do we read? When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened. While he's praying, heaven is opened. And what happens next? And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." And while he prayed, it's a prayer of consecration, as he steps out, as he commences his ministry, he prays. And what does he receive? The anointing of the Spirit and the assurance of the Father. He's not stepping out on his own. So, Christian friend, are you facing a new venture? Change in direction? Things are now going to be different. You can't go back to the way it was before. Maybe it's marriage. Maybe it's a calling. Maybe it's a career move. Well, you know what to pray. Prayer of consecration. The Spirit would give you the equipping. You'd have the Father's assurance what to pray in Jesus' name. And what are you going to pray when you're faced with hard decisions? Luke chapter 6. It's the choosing of the 12. That's hard, isn't it? Especially when you know one of them is a devil. One of them is going to betray you. That's a hard decision, isn't it? Now, it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And it's when he's prayed all night that he then comes down and chooses the 12. So if you're a hard decision, Christian friend, well, get alone with God. Christ goes onto a mountain. It's all night. Get alone with God. Tell him everything. Pray yourself empty. Pray until you get a settled conviction. So you know what to pray in Jesus' name. And what are you going to pray when there's so much to do and so few to do it? Luke chapter 10, verse 2. Then Jesus said to them, "The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." So pray. Pray for an assistant pastor. Pray for a man that we can train. Pray that God would raise up others and he would send them out into the harvest. The harvest is plentiful. No problem with the harvest. The problem is the lack of workers. The harvest here in Twickenham and beyond and overseas. And as you pray, pray that you will be the answer to your prayers. We come to D. What are you going to do? What are you going to pray when you see a brother in real trouble? Luke 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat." Do you remember the scarecrow in The Wizard of Oz? Now the wicked witch, she sends her minions and they rip the straw out of him, don't they? They literally take him apart. Well, that's the sense here when Jesus says to Peter, "Sift you as wheat." It's literally he's going to tear you apart. He's going to rip the stuffing out of you. Well, do you see a brother or a sister being ripped apart? What are you going to pray for them? "But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." Interesting, isn't it? Jesus doesn't pray that he'll be spared the experience, only that his faith will not fail. And that through this experience, through this satanic ripping apart, Peter may return to strengthen many others. So you know what to pray in Jesus' name. And what are you going to pray when people hate you? And they curse you. And they spitefully use you. What are you going to pray when they nail you to a cross? Luke 23, verse 34. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And that prayer wins a stay of execution upon that generation. Jerusalem's not destroyed for another 40 years. We come to F. What are you going to pray when they reject the gospel? When they sit under a Bible ministry unchanged? What are you going to pray when they hear the word of God and they do nothing? Well, that may be put to the test on Tuesday. What does Jesus pray? Well, faced with the rejection of Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, these were towns who had witnessed at first hand the ministry of Jesus Christ, who had heard his preaching loud, clear, but they would not believe. They hear the word of God and do nothing. What does Jesus pray? At that time, Jesus answered and said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight." So when they will not hear, what do you do? What do you pray? You pray what Jesus prayed. You pray in Jesus' name. You bow the knee. God is God. He does what is good in his sight. When my mother rang me and told me that my father had had a heart attack, I went to my room and I prayed. I prayed, Lord, give him more time. And a voice as audible as if I'd heard it with these ears said, no, time has run out. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. But some will believe. If he hides these things from the wise and the prudent, he reveals them to the little children. So we never stop preaching, we never lose heart. And of course, Jesus then, with his very next words, he turns round to these same people and he says, come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What are you going to pray for little children? Matthew 19, verse 13. We read the little children were brought to Jesus and he put his hands on them. Then little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. He prayed for the little children. What do you think he prayed? For the best education? That they be gifted and talented? That they be confident as they face the challenges ahead? That they have a successful career, happy family, a life removed from pain and grief? Would he have prayed that? When he says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? So easy to have child-centered homes where their wants become needs. Well, we can obviously pray for all those things, but what are we going to be praying for? We pray that they may be saved. That they would lose their lives for Christ. They would lose their lives to Christ. That these would be the children who are happy to deny themselves, take up their cross, follow him, whatever the cost, whatever a watching world may think. And what are we going to pray when God's name is blasphemed? You may like to come with me now to Matthew chapter 6, because we'll stay on this a little bit for a while. Matthew 6 and verses 9 onwards, it's the Lord's Prayer. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. What are we going to pray when God's name is blasphemed? Matthew 6 verse 9. In this manner therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now Mr. Jones is an honest man. Everyone in the village knows it. His name is synonymous with honesty. So when someone says, Mr. Jones says, it must be true. That's what his name is known for, truth. But what is God's name known for in this world? In your family, in your neighbourhood, in your workplace. What's God's name known for? And are you happy for his name to be known for those things? Is that what God is really like? You know the Jesus of the Bible. Do you think that's how people see God? So you know what to pray. Pray, hallowed be your name, that they would see God as he really is. And what are we going to pray when we see lukewarm believers for whom the kingdom of God is not everything? And when we see the progress of the gospel stuttering? Verse 10, your kingdom come. So when did you last pray like Jesus? For the extension of God's kingdom, that he would ride out in the chariot of his word to conquer and to save. We come to J. What are you going to pray when disaster strikes? Verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Christ in Gethsemane faces the ultimate nightmare. To drink the cup of God's wrath, that foaming, spiced wine of his anger. The ultimate nightmare. What does he pray? What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? Not my will, but yours be done. General Booth of the Salvation Army, he lost his sight after a botched cataract operation. And his son had to tell him. And his first words to his son were, I shall never see your face again. And moments later he said calmly, God must know best. And after a pause he continued, I have done what I could do for God and the people with my eyes. Now I shall do what I can do for God and the people without my eyes. Your will be done. And what are you going to pray when you see needs? Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. We pray for our needs, and when God answers, what will we discover? We'll discover there's contentment, because Father knows best. And there's enjoyment. There'll be no snatched guilty pleasures. It's enjoyment, because my Father's given these things to me. Look what my Father's given to me, to enjoy. And there's generosity, because having freely received, we freely give. And when we sin, and forgive us, verse 12, our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lord, these are my sins. You remember Nathan says to David, you are the man. Well, I go to God and say, I am the man. God be merciful to me, the sinner. And the man, the tax collector prays, God be merciful to me, a sinner. There's no A in the original. It just says, God be merciful to me, sinner, as though I'm the only sinner in the universe. And I go to God and say, that's who I am. I'm the sinner. Keep me near the cross. Oh, for a closer walk with God. Christian friend, do you keep short accounts with God? Do you know the power of his forgiveness? It will be shown in your attitude to fellow sinners. Verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. If God has forgiven me my infinite debt, I won't be keeping a record of the pennies that others owe to me. So Christian friend, do you find it hard to forgive others from your heart? Do you find there's a matter it just keeps coming back again and again and again? Well, something is very wrong, isn't it? Because if I've truly understood the power of God's forgiveness, that he's forgiven me, then what they owe to me is nothing in comparison. We've come to M. When faced with the world, the flesh and the devil, what is it to pray in Jesus' name? Verse 13, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Did you know there's a lion outside? And as you walk through this world this week, there'll be a serpent waiting to bite you. And ambushes around every corner. And the world is not your friend. And when the world is your friend, the danger is all the greater, isn't there? Isn't it? There are some people who make sin look very attractive. And then if you look inside, what will you see? A deceitful heart waiting to betray you. You're going to have to ask in Jesus' name, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We come to letter N. And what are you going to pray when God doesn't answer you? Do you remember the friend who calls at midnight? And he knocks on your door, hammers away, and says, oh, friend, lend me 3 loaves. What a terrible thing to do. Come around someone's house in the middle of the night when it's their problem, bang on your door and say, come on, wake up, open the door, lend me 3 loaves. Well, that's Jesus' story, isn't it? And he says, I say to you that though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, because he's a nuisance, because of his impudence, his cheekiness, that's the sense of it, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, so what it means to pray in Jesus' name, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. You prayed, God apparently said no. But asking in Jesus' name means if it matters enough, I won't take no for an answer. I'll keep on praying, because this is what he would pray for. But what if no is the answer? Well, maybe the answer is not yet. What I won't give to a 5-year-old, not yet, I will give to a 10-year-old, because now they're old enough to receive it. But Christian friends, we need to take care. A girl wanted a husband. She's a believer. She prayed to God for her husband. And when her husband didn't arrive, I don't know whether it was a no or a not yet, but she became bitter. Why? Because underlying it all really was that she wanted a husband more than she wanted the Lord. That was what she really wanted. A husband. And so she wasn't asking in Jesus' name. Because to ask in Jesus' name is always your will, your glory, your pleasure. And she had to repent. And sometimes God's no is because I've made an idol of something. And God's yes to my request would actually ruin me because he'd give me the idol that I'd want. So Christian friend, maybe you need to repent of your idolatry. Maybe that's why there's a no at the moment. God is saying, not yet. There is a yes, but the yes doesn't come until you repent of your idolatry. Because you've got to ask in Jesus' name. And therefore, maybe the way forward is to begin again. As Martin Luther says, to progress is always to begin again. We've come to letter Q. But what if God's no really is no? Then, like Paul, with his thorn in the flesh, I learn that God's answer is actually above all that I asked or thought. 2 Corinthians 12, he says, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded. It's pleading with the Lord. I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might not depart, that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, come out the other side of this. I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Here is the answer to a prayer prayed in Jesus' name. Paul, you asked me in Jesus' name. Well, it's going to stay. Because with this thorn in the flesh, you will actually be more useful to me. You'll actually bring more glory to me than it would have been otherwise. And since in Jesus' name is always, you will have the glory, use me for your pleasure, to ask in Jesus' name is to get exactly what you've asked for, Paul. And this thorn in the flesh will multiply your usefulness. That's actually, therefore, the answer to your prayer. We come to R. What if we prayed for the healing of a believer in Jesus' name and they've died? That at the consummation, when they're clothed in a resurrection body that will never die, we know that the answer, that the prayer that we prayed in Jesus' name, that prayer has played a part in the fulfillment of those things. We pray that they will be healed. And when we see them dressed in a beauty not their own, in a body free forever of disease, decay, corruption, death, my prayer in Jesus' name has played an answer, has played a part in the answer to those things. Come to S. What are you going to pray when you see disunity in the church and division? Well, make sure you're not part of it. But pray what Jesus prayed. John 17, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. What are you going to pray when you see the church in great need? Or pray that the church will be broken to see its need. God can only use broken churches. Same in Park Chapel, the church that meets here, we are a broken church. God can only use broken people. He can only use broken churches. Because only broken people and broken churches who see their need. Can't use someone who won't see their need. So we pray, don't we? That we would be broken to see our need. But then we pray in Jesus' name. Pray as they did in Acts chapter 2. Pray as they did in Acts chapter 4. That God would send His Spirit to equip His church for the hour. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, says Jesus, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? What are you going to pray when you see David Cameron and Ed Miliband and Colonel Gaddafi? What are you going to pray? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. You're going to pray in Jesus' name for all who those in authority, that the gospel and godliness may flourish. Come to letter V. What are you going to pray for on Tuesday night? Well, Paul says, Colossians and chapter 4. He says, meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, the hidden truth that's now been revealed, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. What are you going to pray for Tuesday? That a door would open for the gospel. We come to W. And what are you going to pray for those who proclaim God's word? Well, Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says, and pray for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. If you don't pray in Jesus' name, you'll get the sermons you prayed for. So this morning, when we came together and we opened in prayer, was that the first time you prayed this morning? Or did you pray before you came? Did you pray yesterday? Did you pray for the Word of God? Did you pray for your hearing of the Word of God? You know, we can come into a message and think, I got nothing from that. But the reason you got nothing from that is you didn't pray. And the same person will have got much from it because they prayed. Did you pray for your hearing of the word? Did you pray for the preacher? Did you pray for yourself? Do you want the message to be clear, faithful, anointed by the Spirit? Do you want the preacher to have the courage to tell you what you need to hear, even though to tell you may make you turn against him? Brother said to me on the door the other day, he said, you must have been saying something, right? Because you were making me angry. That's right, isn't it? If you expose people's sin, if you talk about things they don't want to talk about, if you ask them the question they don't want to be asked, they get angry. We still love darkness to degrees. Sometimes Christians have it in for the preacher when he touches their sins. When he says things they don't want to hear. Well, are you praying for the preacher to have the courage to look at you in the face and tell you those things? Says Paul, I can't do it. It's not the power of flesh and blood, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We come to letter X. What are you going to pray for young believers and singles and marrieds and parents and sick and old and lukewarm and backsliders? And Christians who are in the thick of it, and Christians who are sorrowing, and those who are confused and bewildered, and we could go on and on and on. What are we going to pray? Praying always with all prayer. That's what Tim was saying this morning. And supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Says Paul, pray with all kinds of prayer for all kinds of God's people. Pray in Jesus' name. We need to get into the habit, into the rhythm of praying there and then as we see needs and difficulties and problems. Don't think, well, I'll put that on the shelf, I'll leave that, I'll pray for it later. And you never pray for it. Pray there and then. If you've got a brother or sister with you, say, come on, let's just pray. 30 seconds, a minute, 2 minutes. All kinds of prayer for all kinds of situations, for all of God's people. Someone asked Charles Spurgeon, for how long do you pray? He said, 10 minutes. They were thinking, oh, the great Spurgeon. He only prays for 10 minutes. Had a go. And he said, but I never go more than 10 minutes without praying. Talk to the Lord. Hold a dialogue. I'm always struck by, we've read it already, but these words of Jesus. Matthew 11, verse 25, we read, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Do you see? He answered. But there was no audible voice, was there? What does it mean? It means he was in communion with heaven. There was a dialogue going on with the Father all of the time. The Father is speaking to him. He is speaking to the Father. Jesus therefore answers. His prayer is an answer. In constant communion with heaven. That's what it means to pray in Jesus' name. Come to why. What are you going to pray for those impossible situations? Or those impossible people? Why are they like that? Why are some Christians like that? Why are some Christians you tear your hair out with? Why? That's why I said that. Why? Why? What are you going to pray? We're going to pray in Jesus' name, aren't we? We're not going to go around and tell everyone else, do you know what they said to me? Do you know what they've done? We're going to bring it to God. And that impossible situation, we're going to bring it to God in Jesus' name. And we're going to tell him the situation. And we say, Lord, I don't know what to pray. I don't know the way through this. I don't understand it. It just seems to go on. But I'm taking it all and I'm putting it in your hands. In Jesus' name. And I'm going to ask you to step in for your glory. That's where we come to Z as we close. Christian friend, what are you going to pray? Praying in Jesus' name. How well do you know Jesus? Can you pray what he prayed if you know him? How well do you know him? Does his word abide in you? Do you abide in him? Do you make Christ-shaped requests? Do you ask the Father in Jesus' name? And is it always underscored by seeking his glory? Because that's always the heartbeat of Jesus, isn't it? What pleases you, Father? What's to your glory? And whatever you ask, expect the Father to give. But is that the problem? Going back to verse 24. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Is that the problem? Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Well, it's been lots of praying, been lots of asking, but it's not been in Jesus' name. I don't mean you haven't said at the end of your prayer, in Jesus' name. I mean you haven't been praying as he would pray. Lots of praying, but no real praying. No asking in his name. No praying as he would pray. So maybe the prayer life has all been about me, me, me. And not about him, him, him. Maybe it's all about my will. And whatever the answer gives me, whatever the answer the Father gives me, I'll spend it on myself. Because that's really all that matters. Rather than praying for his glory and his pleasure and his honour. So the question is not, as we close this morning, are you praying? Because all of us will say, yes, well, I'm praying. The real question to ask yourself is this, am I praying in Jesus' name? Am I praying as he would pray? How well acquainted am I with the Son of God? That his heartbeat is my heartbeat. And Christian friend, do you have a consistent personal prayer life? Can you answer the Father because you're in dialogue with heaven? And do we at Amy and Park have a consistent prayer life? The prayer meeting shows how popular Jesus is, doesn't it? Because it's where we ask in Jesus' name for those things that would please him. That's what we're doing, isn't it? That he would have all the glory. Why do we meet together in the middle of the week? It's for him, isn't it? We meet in Jesus' name, and we ask in Jesus' name. We're asking for those things that will please him. So if he doesn't matter too much to us, then we won't be bothered to meet together to ask him. How popular is he? How much do we want his will in the world, in the church, in my life? It's for Jesus' sake that we meet, and for no other reason. Till now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. What does Jesus mean? Not just that you'll be happy. He says that your joy may be full. Fullness of joy. Where do we find fullness of joy? It's where we began this morning, Psalm 16. We find fullness of joy in God's presence. See what Jesus is saying? He's saying, look, you don't just pray in Jesus' name so you're going to be happy about life. You pray in my name so that you will know fullness of joy. Says Jesus, your joy in the world to come springs from the prayers that you've prayed in my name in this world. That's the staggering significance. What you pray in this world impacts upon the joy that you know in that world. Asking in Jesus' name in this world leads to fullness of joy in that world. In other words, Christian friends, you get what you ask for.